WQM 1050 Toronto.
Since 1958, he has produced, written, and sung on hundreds of hit records, from the Teddy Bears to the Righteous Brothers to the Beatles to the Ramones. Of all the personalities in rock, he is at once among the most creative, the most influential, and the most eccentric. He created a musical wall of sound and earned a wall of gold records for his efforts. His name, Phil Spector, one of the producers. The Producers, a series of radio programs spotlighting the most famous record producers in music history. The men whose names you see on the back of album jackets all the time. The true unsung heroes of the music business. The Producers. Now, Phil Spector, part one.
I still say, and I've said it before, I invented the word producer.
Phil Spector was born in the Bronx the day after Christmas, 1940. A puny runt, smothered by mother and left fatherless 9 years later. Phil Spector had all the qualifications of a winner. At age 13, he went west and began to toy with music. While at Fairfax High in Los Angeles, he mastered piano, guitar, drums, and French horn, preparing for the unknown moment when he, of all people, would produce a rock and roll masterpiece. Midnight, Friday, 1958.
He calls me up in the middle of the night, and I was studying, you know, and he says, Annette, that was
Annette Kleinbard.
He says, you gotta hear this. So I said, well, play it to me over the phone. So he plays me To Know Him Is to Love Him. And I said, I think it's a nice song. I mean, you know, his voice coming over the telephone with his guitar is not exactly Johnny Mathis.
Mid-morning, the following Monday.
Phil said he wrote this thing over the weekend. He went
Lou
to see
Bedell, Dory Records.
At the cemetery, and on the stone, it said, to have known him was to have loved him. So he wrote this song, To Know Him Is to Love Him. And I looked at the lychee while I'm on the telephone. I'll never forget this. And I don't know, I guess God was there to guide me. And I said, yes, go start on that first. Don't finish the other thing. Go start on that. So Phil played the guitar. At that time, he wasn't too much of a guitar player. He knew the chords. And we did To Know Him Is to Love Him. And we did overdubs on the background voices and overdubs. And it came out with a sound. And I said to you, I think we got something here. It's different.
To know him is to love him. Just to see him smile makes my life worthwhile. To know him is to love him.
Sent it out, and for 6 weeks, nothing happened. Everybody said, that's a demo. Well, then finally, a fellow by the name of Charlie Boone, a disc jockey in Fargo, North Dakota, he was playing the record. I got a call from Minneapolis distributor, and she said, Lou, she said, I'm getting some calls. out of North Dakota. Charlie Boone playing that record to Know Mr. Love 'Em, the Teddy Bears. And they're calling the station, they're calling the stores where they can get it. Just send me 50 records. I said, okay. So I sent her 50 records. The next day she called, she said, have you sent them? I said, yes. She says, oh, why? I said, why? She says, I want better make it 200. So I sent her 200. And then the 3 or 4 days later, she says, better send me 1,000. Lou, I think you got a hit here. I called Dick Clark, and I said, Dick, I said, I think I have a record. I think it's a smash. It's number one. So he says, well, let me check it out, which later on I found out he did. He checked it out, and he put the record on his American Bandstand out of Philadelphia. And wow, it just broke wide open.
All of teenage America cuddled up to the teddy bears. But Papa Bear Phil was becoming unbearable.
He was always threatening me with my inch of my life.
It started to change a little bit. It became, hey, Lou, baby, how things going?
If you don't kiss Dick Clark on the TV show after they said the record's number one and hand him that teddy bear, I'm going to kill you. You know, so I kissed Dick Clark.
He said, well, either we do that or let's forget it. I said, okay, let's forget it.
No.
Sandwiched between ego and pride, the little hero went ahead on his own, trying to part the waters of mediocrity for a second time. But the teddy bears were all washed up. Phil Spector's first success had become his first failure. For his second act, he flew to New York in search of the Big Apple, ending up in the core of the music industry, the Brill Building on Broadway, where he hooked up with Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller, masters of the musical teenage dream. It was with Lieber and Stoller that Spector began to make things happen his way. And the people heard it all over Spanish Harlem.
There is a rose in Spanish Harlem.
Even today, Phil Spector has proud memories of Spanish Harlem.
It happens to be true that Bobby Kennedy did think Spanish Harlem was his favorite song. Yeah. You can ask Rosie Grier.